Great and mighty things are happening in our day. I marvel as I go to and fro, and I look around me and I see the signs of the time, and I see the wonderful things of God that's happening. And then I consider as to the average individual, and I can tell that they're not seeing at all. And it really moves me. Really disturbs me. I can tell that there are people who are seeing the end to some extent. They know that the end of the world is here, and they can tell that the signs of the time are beginning to fulfill. But as to the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things of God, it seems like they have such a hard time seeing those wonderful things of God. Glad to have you tonight. I noticed Brother Jerry Faison, I don't know where Jerry's in here or not, but he came. And, okay, wherever you're at, Jerry, can you raise your hand up? Oh, yeah, over to the left. Brother Jerry Faison, and also Charlie from over in Mississippi. Is Charlie here? Oh, yeah, okay. We had a little fellowship this evening where he's with us. He come over to visit with us and to be in service with us, and we enjoyed our little conversation today. Oh, I thought maybe we'd get to fellowship a little more, but we didn't. I understand also that Charlie is a public school teacher. He wanted to come over with Jerry. Talked with Jerry the other night on the telephone, and he told me he was coming, and we look forward to him coming over. He's been gone for quite a bit now. Let's turn over to the second book of Peter. I hope that if you've never had your eyes open to the wonderful things of God, that you can get your eyes open. The Bible teaches that he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And we are continually feasting off of the wonderful things of God. I really, truthfully, before the living God, I have a continual feast. A continual feast. And my heart is ever thrilled with the wonderful things of Christ. And when I look around and I see others, and I wonder why then that many of you do not have a continual feast, and why you do not have your heart thrilled with the wonderful things of God. And that God is no respecter of person, and he wants all of us to have it. And we're living in the day that it is given unto us. And this is the great, wonderful moment of God. Even though it is the hour of temptation that is setting in on the world, yet it is also the wonderful, jubilant hour of the goodness of God and all of his wonderful blessings to the church. So, I look around and I wonder why that I don't see more of you enjoying these wonderful things of God. We're always glad to see you come out and be with us. All right, let's read from chapter 1. Second Epistle of Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I like the way Peter says this. Peter was a great preacher. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. If there's anything I'd want more of, it would be grace and more peace in my life and heart. The whole world is searching after peace, and it's just been recently that many of our boys from the United States gave their lives seeking to bring peace to the world as a world order, that they might have rest. And he says here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge. The thing we need to remember is that the only way that the world is ever going to have peace is through the knowledge of the Lord. Peace will come by the knowledge of the Lord. The grace of God comes by the knowledge of the Lord. And he goes on to say, knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. First of all, God hath called us to glory. He hath called us to virtue. He wants us to have his glory. The Bible says, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. He hath called us unto his own glory. I remind you so often, that is, he stood on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. He appeared in glory. And as he appeared in glory, he was seen by the disciples. So we are called to glory. Now, the glory of God is a wonderful thing. I say this so often also, that there is one glory of the sun, there is another glory of the moon, and there is another glory of the stars, there is a glory of the man, and there is a glory of the woman, and there is a glory of the child. And all of these differ from one glory to another glory. And as in heaven, the Bible speaks of these heavenly bodies as to the stars and all of these great heavenly bodies, and they differ in glory. Someone would say, well, how could that be, Brother Pike? Well, there is the star that appeared as to his star, which led the wise men to the manger. And it was bigger and brighter than the other stars. There is one body that is called Pluto, one that is called Uranus, one that is called Earth, one that is called Jupiter, which means that they are different and under surveillance. As they look at them real close, they find that they differ in their appearance. So then the glory of the woman is one as to her hair being her glory. The glory of the man is another as the young man's strength being his glory. And then the glory of the moon and the glory of the stars. And so then there is a glory as to the terrestrial, and there is a glory as to the celestial. And the glory of the terrestrial is one, and to the celestial another. So then we find that there is a natural body and a spiritual body, and both differ in glory. All differ in glory. And as to the measures to what you will receive and I will receive, there will be a difference in our glory. As to one angel that flew through heaven, the Bible said, and his light was so great, the glory of that light lightened all of the earth. And as to the angel that appeared on the hillside, as to the shepherds, the Bible said, and the light of the glory of God came upon them. And as the glory of God came upon them, that they saw the angel and they heard him say, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. And so then today we've got a glory, and the Bible said, so let your light as to your glory shine that men may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So whatever the glory of you might be, as to whether it is one gift, as to a membership of the body, or the glory as to another gift, as a membership of the body, or as to one calling, or as to another calling, or whatever your measure might be in God, as to your glory, then so let your light shine that men may see God in your life, and that they may glorify the Heavenly Father as they behold your glory. For the Bible said concerning the apostles, while they prayed, they slept. And Jesus beckoned unto them to awake. And the Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. And folks, it's not until you get the veil off of your face, and it's not until you break through that intellectual veil of death, that you actually see the glory of God. And this is why I say that looking around a lot of times and going to and fro, I look for the glory of God, and I look and I see the dark veil of death over individuals. I see their intellectual reasoning. I see their intellectual desires. I see the intellectual ignorance of people. And I see that their desire is more for the natural as to the glory of the world than for the glory of God. They'd rather be a celebrity. They'd rather be a singer. They'd rather be a dignitary. They'd rather be a rich person. They'd rather be some kind of beautiful attraction, as in the earth, whether male or female. They'd rather have these things that as to the glitter and glamour of the world, that is the glory of the world, than to have the things of God. Whereas the Bible said, in measuring themselves by themselves, as to lift up one another, or to give each other a diplomacy, as to life, whatever it might be, as to the natural. Then the Bible said, not being wise, they measure themselves among themselves. And desiring the glory that be of man, he said, how can you have the glory that be of God? Or desiring the praise of men, how can you have the praise that be of God? Whereas Paul said, in a good thing, I praise you. So we read here that all of these wonderful things are given to us through the knowledge of the Lord. This is why you need a preacher. This is why the Bible teaches that God has sent a minister as to a shepherd of the sheep. He has sent this minister so that you can have the knowledge of God, because it is only in the knowledge of God that you have these things that pertain unto life. See, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And if you have no word, then you have no spirit, you have no life. If you have no word, then you have no knowledge, you have no understanding, you have no life. My words are spirit and my words are life. And if you're going to have life, you have to come to me. Jesus said, you don't have life and you won't come to me. That is, as he walked as the word made flesh. You won't come to me so that you can have life. And so then as you look around you, you say, well, I know that this person has life. I know that this person has life. But you do not know that. See, unless it's revealed to you, you do not know that. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I see them breathing the breath of life. And I know that they have life, and I know that they are alive. No, that's wrong. You do not know that. Though they are breathing the breath of life, and though they do have the breath of life, that's all they have is the breath of life. Someone would say, well, they breathe the breath of life, therefore they have life. No, they breathe the breath of life, period. Someone would say, well, they breathe the breath of life and they have life. Well, why is it when you do away with the breath of life, there's no life left? Someone would say, well, that's because you know that life is in the breath. And that's exactly right. And the Bible said man's life or breath, which is in his nostrils, that's all that he is. He's just a little thing that's going about, that's taking oxygen in and out his lungs, and that's all there is to him. And as he walks around, he picks up, as from the this cosmic energy that comes down through the hypothalamus into the body, that goes through this pituitary gland as to the vibrations of the body, of every particle of the body, or every thing that's within the body, and as to a certain amount of vibrations, and that's all there is to him. He is a quickening, but it is an electrical quickening. I've said this a lot of times. Just rub over your arm, you know, in the dark when you take your sweater off, your shirt off,
just rub over your arm and while it's dark, and you can see the little sparks just jump out. It's nothing but a few electrical sparks. Or if you get right down to the nitty-gritty of it, as they call in the world, the little tiny beaters. Or as beyond that, the atoms or the molecules of the little atomic particles. He's a constitution of those kind of things. Whereas I said the other night that God is not like that. God is a constitution of divine characteristics. He's not a constitution of a little electrical part. He is a divine constitution, or a constitution, as to, we use the terms constitution or divine or whatever, because we have no other vocabulary of expression whereby we can describe a spirit. God is the great light. He is the great spirit. He is the great light, which means understanding, under which no man can approach, and which no man has seen or can see at any time. That is to say, the only way that I can see God is through my eyes of understanding. Because God is the great invisible light as to the great masterful understanding. And the only way you can see him is through eyes of understanding. Therefore, man cannot see him. You must be a God to see him. You must be a son of God. You must be a God. A God will relate to a God, and a man will relate to a man. And the only way that you can get to be a God, the Bible said the only way to see God is die. No man can see God and live. So then you have to die. And through Calvary, by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, one day I died. And then I was buried with him in baptism. And I've been raised again with him in the newness of life. And now it's not me that's living, but it's Christ that's living on the inside of me. And I now see God. And as Jesus said, I do always the things that I see my heavenly Father do. So then, to be about my Father's business, as I see my Father do these things. But Jesus said, as to you, you have not seen him. You've never known him. Never at any time have you ever seen his shape, nor his image. Now, someone would say, well, I know that I've seen God, Brother Pike. The Bible said that any man or woman that has sinned hath never known God nor seen God. Someone would say, well, I can't help but sin. Well, that means you've never known God. You've never seen God. And then besides that, if you still sin, it's very evident that you are alive, and no one can see God lest they die. And if you are alive, then that means, as Jesus said, your sins remain. Jesus, in healing a blind man, somebody contested it. And Jesus made a little remark where it sounded like that he was saying that these are the blind ones that are accusing you. And as the blind man tried to say something to them, of course, you know, they said, you being blind all your life, born in sin, you try to tell us. And then they, as Jesus disputed with them, they said, are you saying that we're blind? He said, because you say that you see, your sins remain. So then, because you are alive in the natural, then you are not dead to the natural, and you are not born to the Spirit, because you cannot be born to the Spirit until you die first in the natural, as to your first death, as to the death of your first life, and then you become the second life, as to the second, as to born to the Spirit. And he that is born to the Spirit is spirit, and he is not of the flesh, and he is not in the flesh, neither is he a living soul. He is a quickening spirit, in that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and all of us were made living souls. As in Adam, we all die because of the sin that came upon us, took our life, and the body is dead then because of sin. So then, as long as this body is, as you call it, alive, then you cannot have true life, which is the only life, which is the new birth. So when we talk about life, let's stay with that theme for just a minute, because there's so many branches of revelation that we could get off into. Let's look at life. Do you have life? Or do you have the breath of life? I say that you have the breath of life. The reason I say that is because the scriptures cannot be broken. And the Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into man, and he become a living soul. So then, he become a living soul by the breath of life. But the soul that sinneth shall surely die, and all are under the penalty of death because of sin. Therefore, without Jesus, you are a dead soul. Death. Sin is the sting of death. And he that sinneth is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And the sting of death is sin. And sin stings the soul or kills the soul. Or Lucifer, the spirit of death, can penetrate your body just like a stinger from a bee can penetrate your hand. And that spirit goes right into your interior, into your soul, and strikes your soul. And then are you dead. Through lust, through the desires of the flesh, through the human senses, and making contact with the world, then are you enslaved as to the bondage of the world, and then are ye the bond's child, in that you are attached to the world and relate to the world through your human senses, and you cannot escape that because you are intellectual, and to be intellectual as to the old tree of knowledge is death. So then, trying to reason things out, when God told you and he told me not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Cast down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and then to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. So we find that you just have the breath of life. As in Adam, all die. As in Jesus Christ, all are made alive, because Adam was a living soul and Jesus was a quickening spirit. And there is no life except in the Spirit. So then, your breath is all that you are. And if you do not believe that, I've said this so many times, just catch your nose, close your lips tight, don't turn either one loose, and just in a few minutes, that'll be it. You'll be dead. Because all you have is a breath of life. And if you do not get that breath in and out your nostrils, then are you dead. Someone can come up behind you and just scream at you. And the people have been done things like that and caused people to die like that. A heart attack, that is to say the heart has to pick up oxygen, as to breath, every few seconds. If you have a heart attack, in that the heart does not function properly, then you don't get any oxygen or air into your heart. That is to say, as to the blood bringing it to your heart, then you're gone. As to the little capillaries of the lungs, these little parts of the lung, they pick up oxygen. You have on the inside of you a substance that is a red-looking compound sort of a substance that has an affinity for oxygen. And when the oxygen comes into your lungs, it picks it up. It's transferred into your bloodstream. And in your bloodstream, then it goes to your heart. And the little heart is nothing more than, as I said before, like a little thing that just goes in and out. That's all. And I've demonstrated this. I thought one time, I believe I understand that. I'm going to try something. The Lord impressed me. And I took a little can and I put a hole in it. It's full of fluid. And I thought, now this will react like a heart, because it can't get any air. And as I said before, then the fluid began to come out. And as it began to come out, because it could not get any air, it would suck the sides in and out. And it would just go like that, just continually. As long as there was fluid in there, it would go like that. Whereas the heart always has fluid, because as to coming into one side, as to taking the oxygen, as to the red, then it goes over after it goes through the little cells to give oxygen and life. It goes over into the other as to the vessels. And then it comes back up as to the veins and the vessels. But anyway, it goes into the heart. And then as it goes into the little cells, as you very well know, it picks up as to the metabolism of the body. It picks up the ashes as to that which is burned up and takes it out. And through the pores, sweating it out, another means of the body, but nevertheless, it is a continual circulation as to the fluid, and the little heart just keeps on. It's nothing but a muscle, and it keeps on through its stimulation or inspiration of life. It just keeps on. And that's all there is to you. And a good jolt, a good bump, knock the breath out of a person, and they're gone. while they have this life in them, they must switch over. If they do not switch over, then it's like a baby on milk. If the baby doesn't switch over on meat, it can't make it. It cannot continue to drink milk. They say that elderly people or older people, middle-aged people or whatever it might be, that milk's not good for them. Too much milk's not good for them. But the baby lives on milk. And you as a babe, you desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. But the Bible said the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So you've got to switch over to the meat. See, you've got to switch over. Now then, as to the breath of life, if you don't switch over to eternal life, when the breath of life is gone, you are dead because there's no hope for you. Satan, the spirit of death or the power of death, possesses your soul from the fall of the garden in the first birth, and in the birth of the first man, Adam, you die. All die. And when you are born again, the Spirit of Christ Himself enters into your spirit as on the inside of you, which is the kingdom of God. And then your spirit becomes one with Christ's spirit. And then are ye eternal. It doesn't matter if the breath of life leaves you. It doesn't matter how they torture you. It doesn't matter how long you stay in the grave. Your body has nothing to do with it. From the dust it is, to the dust it shall return. But in that day, life, your life, which is hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the coming of the Lord, of the restoring of all things, when He, our life, appears, the Bible said. Our life is one with Him. Christ is our life. And the life we now live, we live it by Christ as the Son of God on the inside of us. And as to our life, as to the living soul, it's gone. As to the breath of life, it is no more. And I must switch over while I have the breath of life, because after I lose the breath of life, I can never switch over then. And this is why the devil keeps on the way he does. He knows this. He doesn't understand the mystery of it. But he knows this, and he's got to stay out of the dry places. And to do that, he's got to live in a human body, as it was to Legion in the tombs when Jesus said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, for we are many." Many devils will press their way into one body. So the more devils you have, the more weaker you are to the spirit world as to fallen angels. And these angels trying to get out of the dry places, they will crowd in against one another, until they literally feel your being. And you are tormented the same way that they are tormented, and they find a little rest and peace in the lust of your flesh. See, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, the grace is here. You are illuminated with the image that Adam fell from. You are illuminated with the image. Come, let us make man in our own image. You are made in the image of God, and that image was lost at the garden. Jesus restored it by grace. And today, you are illuminated or overshadowed with this glory as to this image. And devils have opportunity to enter into your body, because the blood is on the seat of atonement, and it is a day of grace. And as the demon said to Jesus, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" Oh, that is to say, we have a time, they said, that is supposed to be a grace dispensation. And we're supposed to be free at liberty to enter into human bodies, to get out of dry places, as to the waters of life being missing. And so then, have you come to torment us before our time? And so today, millions of demons are everywhere. And the Bible said that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. And the very days are evil. And these powers that's in the air, Satan is the prince of these powers as to these fallen angels. Not only that, but the prince of the powers of atomic powers. Particles that the intellectual genius of mankind keeps probing into to create as to their own destruction. God has given these things to them for oxygen, given them to them for light, given them to them for natural life. But Man is always probing into this. And Satan is always trying to get this together so that he can have great power, as it was with the United States when they went against the foreign countries to prove their ability in supersonic planes and in atomic powers. And they tear up the earth and they kill humanity, no matter who, what country it is. And the Bible says that I will destroy them that destroy the earth. They burst these bonds under the water, creating great tremors, and the ocean bed is cracked all up. And the Bible teaches they will continue to do this until there will be a great tremor that will reach so high that it will shake the stars loose from their sockets, and they'll fall out of heaven. And the Bible said the heavens themselves, as to the atomic reaction, shall, the very atmosphere shall be on fire. The heavens themselves shall be on fire and melt with fervent heat. And the earth and all therein shall be utterly burned up. And seeing that these things are going to be, even as the vision we had, they're about to publish it in the Daystar now. Seeing that these things are coming, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation, hasting and looking for as unto the coming of the Lord? So then we know that this end is coming. And we know that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. And we know that he is the cause of this destruction. He is doing these things so that he can lord over other nations and take other people into his control until he makes it one great body of constraint to make them think the way he wants them to think and to do what he wants them to do, and then he will completely swallow up humanity. Whereas God is trying to do the same thing through love, God is trying to subdue through the word, and as he beckons unto you to tell you that you are a body without life and that he has given grace for a period of time that you may breathe and stay alive, as you call it, until you can have opportunity to make this change, that he can win this body back to the right atmosphere, to himself, and back to the Word of God, that it might be filled up and overflowing with the wonderful Spirit of life. For he said, I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundant. And that coming, God woos you back to himself, having taken your sufferings in his body on Calvary, having forgiven your sins, to wit that God, the great Spirit, was in Jesus while in the world, and he was reconciling the people back to himself, not imputing their sins and their trespasses unto them. So Christ in you is that hope of glory. And he's trying to get you back to your originality, that you may be born inwardly of the Shekinah image as to which Adam and Eve was illuminated with, that with this great, wonderful inter-Shekinah glory, that this life of Christ may be made manifest in your mortal genes, is to change your mortal genes into that wonderful Thessalonian change, as to the glory of God is to outshining the brightness of the noonday, and as to being not a living soul but a quickening spirit, as to having not a terrestrial body but a celestial body, as sharing the glory of God. With this, we understand why that the Lord tells us that he hath given us all things that pertain unto life. I have given you all things that pertain unto life. A lot of times we preach this, you know, and people go their way and they say, hallelujah, I've got everything that pertains unto life. That is yea and that is nay. You do have everything that pertains unto life as to the sacrifice of Calvary, as to God giving it to you without respect of person, but you do not have everything that pertains unto life to this extent that he hath given it to us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I speak this to your shame. So if you come and you do not hear, and you do not take heed how that you hear, and if you do not get the understanding of God as to the knowledge of God, then you are cut off from this wonderful knowledge as to God and this wonderful life that is given to you through the wonderful knowledge of God. So this is why I love the words. Sang them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, those wonderful words, those wonderful words, those wonderful words of life. words of faith and duty. They're words of beauty. Sing them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. So then the Bible, as God speaking to Israel, said to Israel, rehearse these things. Meditate in these things when you lay upon your bed at night. Put them before you as frontlets on your eyes. Put them over your doorpost. Think on these things always. Meditate in these words day and night, because this is not some understanding or knowledge that will make you weary. This is not something as to some intellectual expression of something somebody has come up with through a brainstorm as to magnify the natural man. But this is life. This is life. This is life. And all the day long and all the night long and wherever you're at, meditate in this life. This life. Like a little child splattering in the water on a hot day. Meditate in these laws of life. And the more you think on them, the more they'll revelate to you. And the more they'll open up to you. And the more the inspiration will come to you. And the greater your life will be as the filled up and overflowing abundance of me. Me, the Word, dwelling in your heart. For I, the Word said, am the Prince of Life. And I, the Word said, have come to dwell in your heart. And I, the Word, as the Spirit and life as Christ within you, bring you the hope of glory and bring you the understanding. As your understanding is enlightened to this abundance of life, as to a well of living water or rivers of living water, and you can draw this water out of these wells with joy. For serving the Lord is joy, peace, and righteousness. Or that is conforming to the Word, which is service to the Lord. Or surrendering your spirit to Christ, the Word, is joy, abundance of joy. Anytime an inspiration comes, the more you yield your spirit to the inspiration, the greater you are in life, and the more exuberant you are, and the more exuberant and activated you become with this wonderful magnitude of the Word. So then, as to words of spirit and life. So God has given us all things that pertain unto life. All things, for He has called us unto glory, even His glory. He has said, come and be partakers of my glory. Come and let me glorify you with the magnificence of strength and health and happiness, joy and peace that my Father has glorified me with as even His presence. And this that I've called you to peace, for great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall disturb them, offend them, or harm them. So then, as I said, we've got to switch over, folks. Now, a little baby doesn't have to switch over because it has never left the presence of God. The Bible teaches their little spirit has never come to the age of accountability, and to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. They've never come to know to do good, therefore it is not charged to them as to having sin that they may be brought to repentance to be baptized. It's not necessary, though we dedicate babies to the Lord. Yet it is not necessary for them, because their little spirit, should it depart the body, it has never left the presence of God anyway. Jesus said, I say unto you that their spirit, their inter-spirit life, is always in the presence of my Father, beholding the face of my Father. Such is the kingdom of heaven. As to your new birth, the little child, the second birth, as the little child born into the kingdom of God, is to innocency. All right. We could go on and go on, but I just want to get this thought over, is that if we don't make the change and we don't have life, once you get the change as to your spirit being translated into the spirit of Christ, then do you have the kingdom of God within you? A lot of times I say you have the kingdom of God, and of course people, they don't understand it either. And they think, well, the kingdom of God, glory to God, I got the kingdom of God with me. But see, you don't understand. The kingdom of God means that you have the spirit of understanding, the wonderful magnitude of the presence of God. You have the faith of Christ Jesus, which means the kingdom of God as to the treasure of the Word, the same Word that spoke the world into existence. So the treasure as to the kingdom is always the treasure. And the treasure is that all things exist or consist by the Word of God. And the Spirit through the Word said, let there be, or the Spirit gave an utterance that was the word, as to the verbal sound, as to the vibrations of these things, as like a tremor in the electronic fields, and as we say, the magnetic fields. And so then, as to this, he says to your magnetic field, as to the hearing, as to your senses, these sounds, and they come to you through vibrance, and as these vibrations comes to your listening ear, as to the nerve senses and the recordings, and they go down into your heart, or into your very being. You're interwoven with your energetic interbeing, as to your spiritual man. All right, so when you look, you see images. And when these things come across your eyes, there's 22 conductive nerves from your eyes to your brain, like a little teletype, or like fingers on a typewriter that's dip, dot, dash to your brain. And through the nerves, you are alive. And I say this so often, do away with the eyes and you're that much dead. Do away with the hearing and then you're that much dead. Do away with the smell and you're that much dead. Do away with the taste and you're that much dead. Do away with feeling and you're that much dead. Oh, that is to say, all of this is feeling. All of this is human senses. And if you kill a little part of it, you've lost a little part of your life. In that these senses make you relative to tangible forms of matter which has emanated from God, the great invisible spirit. So we understand that things which do appear were not made by things which appear, but things that appear were made by the invisible, as to that which do not appear. And all of the invisible is understood by the visible, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse, in that everything is a vanity, as to a mirror and a reflection of that invisible world. Even the human beings in this world is only a reflection of those great, wonderful, ever-living gods that's in the world. As Jesus' body was a reflection as of that great Christ that was in that world, so then when he put off the tabernacle, the great Christ stepped out. So is with you, and at the dividing, as to dividing asunder, or we say the splitting of the atoms, going down to the nucleus, we brought this out on tape, I remember. When this is separated, then the great, wonderful drama of life comes forth, and you, as the spiritual star of heaven, is there. Though the tremors will shake the stars out of heaven, not the true stars. There's nothing that can shake them out, because they are not held there by any magnetic field of any kind. They are an illumination as to light, and they are held by their own glory as to their status of life. But that which is rock, that which is nickel, that which is planets, and that which is those stars that are reflectors, that look just like other stars, as to say those that are hypocrites in the church, where they're illuminated with the image of Christ, but not born inwardly of this image, they shall be shaken out of the heavens. The religious world today is that thing that glitters along Broadway. The religious world today is that which is in the upper offices, as to the upper echelon and the elite of life, as to all of those people that are out there in that world, even as to the president. All of those are illuminated, and they are the great, wonderful stars of that heaven. But all of that will go into darkness once the light closes out, as to the blood being taken off of the seat of atonement. But we that are the true stars that are shining brightly, we will remain in our orbit as to glory eternally and forever, as to whatever status our reward might be, as to 60-fold, 30-fold, 100-fold. But all of those things are but reflectors, and they'll drop into the bottomless pit, is to say, into outer space, to where there is no end. Where is it at? Science has never found it. And so that we will remain forever and forever as the brightness of the noonday. For when the light is taken out, as the church, as to the sevenfold light at the end of the church ages, so it is with the sun, as to a sevenfold light, away in a nova, and everything is gone. So we just said these few little things to remind you that when you hear the word, it might be as to in China, it might be said in a different vocabulary expression, but it's still the vibrance of the spirit. It might be said in Chinese different. It might be said in the Philippine Islands different. It might be said in other parts of the world as to Nigeria different. But wherever it's at, whatever the language might be, it still means as to the vibrance. When we say Jesus in one language, it's still, if we say Jesus in another language, or whatever we say, we're still talking about the name in which there is remission of sin, and these vibrations as to whatever they might be, they're going out to the listening ear. Someone would say, well, my God, there could be so many kind of vibrations, Brother Pye. If that be true, where there are many sounds in the world as to type, as to vibration, and all them distinct as to different in sound, whatever they might be, as to represent the hidden spirits. But the thing is that this is the same vibrations throughout the world and throughout all humanity, because these vibrations come from one spirit. And every spirit, your spirit in any form of body, or any human form, would give off the same vibrations, because that's the characteristics of your nature. And so then the characteristics of Christ is Christ within you, the hope of glory, whether in the Chinese, whether in the German, whether in the American, it will be the same spirit giving off the vibrations, regardless as to what the sound might be through vocabulary expression. And when it strikes the ear, all men's hearts are fashioned alike, and they receive thus the same vibrance as unto the preparation of the heart, and thus it is, and thus we could go on and go on and go on, but there's one thing about it, it's good to be a Christian. Let's give the Lord a hand. Can you stand with me? We're glad to have Charlie and our brother with us tonight. And we're also glad to have, I thought I saw George Jr. in here somewhere. Oh, I can't tell. It's just kind of. But anyway, we wrote the song here a long time ago. It said, and all of the children are coming back home. Speaking of God's children. So it is, even our natural children coming back home. We had spoke of this, that they would do that. And that with that, it would have to do with the return of the Jews at a certain time when the vault doors was ready to lock, and when certain other things was ready to be fixed, and it all seems so foolish, but yet it would be true and according to our vision. So it has happened as to the fire and the brimstone, and that is to the millennium. And we also said, and as to the little dangles that used to hang right across here, how that they had to do with those as to the covering cherub and the blood as to these red ones, and as to those on the side there as to those colorful things sitting there as to the little images. And it had to do with that, and all of a sudden my Dale come in here and my Gracie come in here, and it took them all down. Because I didn't say anything. I just let it go. Because I saw they wanted to remodel the church. And then when it was, they were gone down, something happened to them that they moved off and they didn't get to do anything as to remodel. Whereas I watched it because it had to do with the blood coming off of the seat of atonement as to the covering cherubs, as to the seven candlesticks and the way that this was made and what it was made for. And I saw my Dell as to the separation, because as to her and her husband, it had to do with the thing of Catholicism as to cutting off. And then I saw my little daughter Gracie, whereas all of my children are very symbolic. I saw her go away into another country and marry somebody of another country and move off into the islands, whereas it had to do with the grace going and the closing of the days of the Gentiles and the coming in of the Jews. And of course, all of these things started. See, and watching every step, watching everything as to what it would be. Then as to Revelation, where it said, and he saw them before the throne as to stand upon the sea of glass. I made the statement as to what this had to do with, and out here in the front of it had to do with that. And sure enough, the baptism thing came along about the time as to the redemption of the body when the folks came in from California, which spoke of that, of what California had to do with as to the body and as to the woman and as to the redemption. And sure enough, we had the baptism and it was filled with water. And we're contemplating it being filled with water all the time, staying right there all the time in a decorative thing, and it will be ready for baptism anytime. But anyway, many, many things we could say on and on and on. And As to some of you, the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise, the Bible said, and God is revealing himself through simplicity. And the Bible said, and they that are carnal minded shall not see the things of God, for they are foolishness to the carnal mind. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Pardon me. But he that is spiritual, he judgeth all things. And the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. We are steward of the mysteries of God, which means that as to a world coming in, whether it be as to an elementary thing, as to an elementary grade, or whether it be as to that of high school, as we say, or that of college, as to 1, 2, 3, so it has always been. That as to the primitive side of life, as to a stone man of his knowledge, so was this world. And then as to another knowledge, so came another world. And to a knowledge today of our scientific brilliance, as to the electronic field, as to the stone age, and as to the mechanical age, and then to the electronic age. And so we are here in the world of light as to another knowledge. And so our environment is of such as to modernism and convenience. And so it is with God. It has always been as to one knowledge in God, as to one measure of life is the first heaven, and then another measure of God as to the second heaven, and then to another measure of God as to the third heaven. And so then here we are now as to the war in heaven, as to the second heaven. Take a long time to go into this. And Lucifer being cast out, the days of the Gentiles coming to an end, and then the man child being caught up to the throne, as to the very glory of God, as to the very knowledge of Almighty God himself, as to the very mind of Almighty God himself. And so then the new generation is coming in. The new world is coming in. Like as in the natural, the new world is coming in with the youth, and they're taking over with their lust and their killing and their murdering and their bebop and their glitter and their glamour, and selling their souls and lives and virtue and everything, so that some devil will admire them and people will clap their hands and make a fuss of them. Or that they can have a pretty face or a pretty form to be admired or whored after, until the dark strikes through their liver and they go to feed the worm. But in this day, as to that allegoric thing, so it is as in the spiritual thing. It is the beautiful hour of the Spirit, and the voice is now revealing the inner man of the last generation for this last world, as to the third heaven, that the others might diminish and that they might go out. That they might go out. And we're on the verge of that grace being lifted from them at the change of the body of the church, that all of those others that look so much like the body of Christ, as to the beast itself, shall all of a sudden lose its illumination and be in total darkness and to be in debauchery, and there'll be no glory at all in that world as to this world. And that will be the beggarly elements of the world, into which you, the child, as to a bond child, is in bondage. And then this wonderful world of eternal life, of eternal gods, of brilliance and riches and glory and splendor and magnificence, of them that shall shine greater than the brightness of the noonday. Let's sing a chorus together, can we? The Bible said, as to the innermost to you, as to the well of salvation, that is the deep place of waters, that in the Spirit is to that which we cannot fathom, as to natural comprehension, and only through the mind of Christ can we comprehend the heights, depth, and width, and length of this great light, that the natural mind, with all of its scientific Einstein brilliance, can never even touch. With this mind, the deep there that we cannot fathom, as to that calls to the deep here. And the deep calling unto the deep, the Bible said it, the water spout of God, whose water spout ye are, as to wells of salvation, that with joy out of the innermost being, as to these rivers of living water, it comes forth. It comes forth. So the water comes out of your soul to satisfy your outer man, and then your cup runs over, and the thirsty around you gets a drink. Let's sing that chorus together, can we? A lot of times we sing that song where the living waters flow. I like that song. But let's sing this little chorus. Without him, I can do nothing. Sing that with me now. And without him, I would but fail. And without him, I would be drifting like a ship without him.
myself. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? And don't turn him, help me, friend, away. Without him, how lost I would be. I request that you pray for me. Give prayer for me and my children. I pray for us because I pray for you and your children and your loved ones all the time. All right. Can we sing again, Brother Taylor? The altars are already always open. You never know who wants to come to the altar. Somebody perhaps has had problems through the day, or somebody has come that needs salvation. I always give altar call. I repeat this again. I've done it so many times to let you know why. In preaching one morning at a church, I did not give altar call. I didn't feel any conviction much, and I was a young minister. I didn't give altar call, and on my way out, somebody stopped me, and they were so disturbed. And they said, why did you not give altar call this morning? I said, well, I just didn't feel like there's nobody here that was really wanting to seek God. And the person said, I was here, and I wanted to seek God. And I felt like that I needed to come to the altar, and you didn't give altar call. And from that time on, I said, Lord, you help me. Forgive me. Don't let blood be on my hand, and I'll always try to remember. And most all the time, unless I really feel moved of God, I always give an invitation to come to the altar. So let's sing this. Sometimes people who already have an experience with God, they just get kind of laden down and broken in spirit, and they need a little lift, and just coming to the altar makes them feel better, and it strengthens them. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. How I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Once there by faith, I received my. Now I am happy all the day. Let's sing another little chorus or two just before we dismiss, can we? Give me kind of a low key and let's try this. And oh, tell me his name again. Sing that with me. Sing me the sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart it has told. It's the sweetest
that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Sing that with me, Brother Taylor.
Tell me his name once again.
Sing me the sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross, sin shame. The story I heard, it has heard. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. I love him. Can you lift your hands up with me? I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he just my salvation on Calvary. Tree. Once again, sing that with me. I love it. But ask Brother Pasman to come and dismiss us.
Love him.
Do you really love Jesus? Lift your hands up to heaven. Close your eyes and worship the Lord. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. To surrender, to conform, is more than all precious gold and silver. Once again, I, Jesus, Savior, love me. You'll keep my commandments.